Ramsey TV.
You probably figured out that there's one more presentation left from the, what was that conference? From the South Carolina conference, and it's going to come to you tomorrow. But I miss talking to you, so I can't even put one more on. I have to talk to you with my friends here live. At least I'm live on MCTV. This is Martin Zender. Thanks again for joining me. I'm going to do something I rarely do, and that is I'm going to point out a Christian contradiction. I know. Feeling crazy today, but I have to do it. Somebody's got to do it. How many times have you heard people say, not just Christians, but regular folk, they say, everything's going to work out, right? Somebody gets into some trouble, their kid has trouble at school, somebody gets a sickness, bad things happen. You know, it'll all work out, right? It's a nice sentiment. Who wouldn't say it? Who doesn't like to hear that? Everything's going to work out. You're just like, oh, yes, everything's going to work out. And there's another one, and it's like, well, it's all going to come together in the end. That's another one. It was meant to be. This was meant to be, right? It's common saying. Everybody says it. It's meant to be. Comforting. You love it. I love hearing it. Or, well, everything has a purpose, right? Let's review. Not that, why do I say that? Because I'm never going to remember. Everything has a purpose. It was meant to be. Any other ones? Okay. All of these things would be impossible. Impossible. If there was human free will. Think about it. Everything works out in the end. How? How could everything work out in the end if any single human being on the earth can wreck anything, any intention of God's? I'm going to get to that word intention here. You know I am. Hang on. Don't go away. Don't turn that dial. Yeah, everything works out in the end. Well, God has a purpose in everything. He does? Ah, oh, that's nice. It's wishful thinking on God's part, but too bad, because God's purpose can be derailed by any single human being who has a different purpose, because apparently, according to theology and according to the very people who say these things, God's purpose can be derailed by any given will that is purportedly free that could oppose God's will. So it's impossible for God to have a purpose in anything. That's meant to be. I mean, none of these things make sense. Because unknowingly, and I might add stupidly, people think that having a free will, it's wanting your cake and eating it too. Having a free will, you can have both things. I can have a free will and everything will work out in the end. You can't. It is absolutely impossible. Because everybody has a free will, there's only one result, and it's chaos. It's the only result there can be. You have all these competing free wills, but if a will's free, technically, theoretically, how can it be free to enact its intention if there's a competing will right next door, let alone 8 billion competing wills? It's chaos. Nothing can have purpose. You could never say again, well, God has a reason for it. Irrelevant. Can't happen. Everything will work out in the end? No. Nothing is guaranteed to work out in the end. In fact, your salvation is not guaranteed to work out in the end. Yeah. Yeah. What if somebody doesn't want you to be saved? Their free will. All right. This is total chaos. Two trains hitting head on in the night. So let me give you some peace. And that is that all things happen in accord with the counsel of God's own will. Ephesians 1:11. And that is the only way this can happen. So isn't it nice that God is not so stupid as to actually give people what they think they have? This is ridiculous. They're out there thinking they have this power. And they're all that, not realizing that every step they make, they're fulfilling the will of God. I mean, you look at Scripture, some obvious examples. Pilate, Caiaphas, the priest, Judas, none of them were conscious of enacting God's will and intention. Peter says, by the counsel and foreknowledge of God, Jesus Christ went to the cross. So all the players involved in that, of course, were directed by God. Here's an interesting scenario. How would you like to know what's going to happen tomorrow? I wouldn't. If God gave you a blueprint of what's going to happen the next week or the next month, and on it was a car accident tomorrow, you're going to have a car accident tomorrow. If you knew that, what would you try to do? Well, I'm going to stay in bed and avoid the car accident. It would be impossible because whatever you would do to avoid it would end up getting you in it, no matter what. Like Peter, perfect example. You will deny me three times before the cock crows. Three times, you'll deny me three times. Now, did the cock crow once? How many times did that cock crow? First thing I'm going to ask Jesus when I see him. Peter would have said, oh, he did say, no, never. I will never deny you. And what does God do then with him? So ingenious. He puts him in a situation where he loses his head. The pressure is on him. We saw you with that man. We saw you with that man. You're one of them. Peter, just totally overwhelmed by fear, says, no, I don't know the man. Just totally unconscious of it. And that's what will happen. In the car accident scenario, something would happen, like that you had an emergency out of town. I guarantee you something would happen. It would have to get you in that car. It doesn't matter if you decided to stay in bed. Somebody would call, oh, you know, your aunt's sick across town. You got to get her medicine to her. There's nobody else available. We can't get hold of her husband. And totally forgetting about the prophecy or the settled plan of God, you would go out and do it and you would fulfill it. You would, no matter how you, what, you can't avoid it. No one can avoid it. No one can avoid what's it? The intention of God. And I want to point out to you the difference between God's will and his intention, because many people get lost here. I can understand. It seems complicated at first. Let me give an example. God's will is thou shalt not commit murder. Right? That's God's will. Doesn't want you to commit murder. In fact, it's one of the Ten Commandments. But he needs people to murder his son. God has a problem. What's he going to do? I don't know. Cause people to murder his son? But that goes against God's will. It goes against his revealed will. But there's another word for God's intention. Paul says in Romans 9, who can withstand his intention? Different Greek word than will. I'm going to put the two words here for will and intention. People avoid God's will all the time, but they never can avoid his intention. In fact, God's will is like a carom on a pool table. You hit God's will, you say, I'm not going to do that. You go off here and fulfill his intention. Every single player in the crucifixion did that. They all did that. The priests, they broke every rule in the book by condemning Jesus Christ. And yet, what did they do? By bouncing off God's will, they fulfilled his intention. So God puts up all these things that people just run into and boom, fulfill his intention. They can't help it. Must be very frustrating. God is operating all things in accord with the counsel of his will. That word counsel is the same word that was translated intention. I wish the concordant had been consistent there. His intention is always fulfilled. And we might not like it. What am I talking about? We love it. Who wants the pressure of having to write the blueprint of your life and carry it out? Are you kidding me? We can barely get to work on time. You know, just get the car to the garage at the right time. Try to remember your dentist appointment. I mean, forget about it. Jeez, why? I don't understand why people don't hear this and love it. Well, it's, you know, the arrogance of the flesh. It's the flesh rebelling against the spirit. That's what it is. But you and I, we take comfort knowing that God is in control of our every action. And that's the only way. Coming back to the beginning, full circle here. God directing our steps. Boy, if only God had a verse that said he directs man's steps, how easy that would be to explain it to people. Oh, wait! A man's steps are ordered by God. Man. If only we had a verse that says, in him we live and move and are. Oh, wait a minute. Acts 17. Yeah, you know all these verses are there. So it's impossible to have your cake and eat it too. It is impossible that everything will work out in the end. Impossible. Stop saying it if you believe in free will. And as I always say, maybe you haven't heard it. There's a lot of new viewers here, so I will say this. We live as though everything is up to us. I mean, you can't come up to a stop sign and say, well, I guess I can only stop if God causes me to stop. I can't do it, and God operating in me to will and to work. Yeah, it's all true in the absolute, but we act like everything is up to us. And this is fun. We have the best of both worlds because we have fun thinking that it's all up to us. I got to stop here. I got to do this. I'm going to write this. I got to change the sentence. I. Someone hearing me say that, I'm going to make this sentence better than it is. Oh, what are you talking about? How can you make the sentence any better than it is? God operating all things. Yeah, but I don't know what that thing is yet. So I'm in the mix. I'm struggling against it, which is nice. I like to do that. We all like to do it. So God is gracious, and he gives us what I call the bubble of ignorance. And if we think we're free. I just think you're free. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, I'm free. But we're not. You know that. So then, after something happens, the bubble of ignorance is over, isn't it? The bubble of ignorance that carried you through that moment when you were acting like it was all up to you, that's over. And now you have the beautiful backstop of the sovereignty of God. And that kicks in after something happens. I mean, you understand, the sovereignty of God is still operating before it happens and during it happens. But the bubble of ignorance is the thing you work in. It's the thing you live your day in. It's the thing that gives you purpose, makes you get up in the morning. That's the bubble of ignorance. After the thing happens, it had to happen. Then you comfort yourself. That was God's intention. That was God's intention. You can't do that before something happens. That's called fatalism. Well, God's will be done. You know, you tell somebody the gospel. Well, you can't believe unless God tells you to believe. Or you feel compelled to share the evangel with somebody. Well, it's up to God whether they believe or not. What can I do? No, 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 no. No, before something happens, you're in the mix. After something happens, that person rejects you or they shoot you in the stomach or in the head. Then, after the thing happens, then you say, well, that was... You can still think, you know, if you can still think. You know, that was planned by God. So it's a comfort. We have the best of both worlds. Live as if you're free before something happens and believe that nobody's free after something happens and rest in the pure, absolute sovereignty of God.